Welcome to Conversations. Lisa, it's so good to see you across the table.
Thank you, honey.
I know, we went too long away from each other. But listen, you know what's happening this week is we're doing our eighth annual Messenger Cup tournament.
Now, some people might not know what that is. What is it, John?
Well, Lisa, you and I have a passion to resource pastors and leaders all over the world. And this came as a divine directive to us. And by the grace of God, we've been able now to give away 17.3 million resources to pastors and leaders in 97 nations and 107 languages. I mean, nations like Iran and Farsi, Urdu, you know, in Pakistan, and we could go on and on and on. And so this is the primary vehicle in which God has used to bring the funds in. I think last year, 2.3 million came in, and that totally goes to the pastors on the field. Like, we don't take administrative costs out. We don't take fiscal costs out. We just put that right into the field.
And people buy the projects. Like, so people are like, I bought Killing Kryptonite in Farsi, and then they're super excited about that. Can I ask them something? Can you guys be praying for us this week? Because I really want to believe that we see every project funded. So if you're out there and you hear this, driving in your car, if you can just whisper a prayer, that would be great.
But if you're thinking about coming like to the 9th annual or 10th, it's a two different thing. One's a golf track and the other one's an alpine track. So the alpine, they get to ride horses or they're doing mountain biking. Some are jumping out of planes this year. They've done whitewater rafting at the Royal Gorge. Then the golf is pretty self-explanatory. It's a great tournament. But you can go to messengercup.com and get information if you're interested in years to come. But anyway, we're going to keep our conversation going about marriage, because we only answered two questions last week or 2 weeks ago on the podcast. So
it's true.
I know. And you were the one asking the questions and I had to give the answers first. So can we reverse it today?
I really felt much more confident asking the questions.
Okay, Lisa, here's the first question. And it's from Shanae. I hope I said her name right. I'd love to get your perspective on what being the spiritual head of a household looks like in marriage.
See, this is a you answer and me question.
I just nailed myself. Does he need to be the one initiate prayer and devotion? Does he need to be more? And these are great questions. Does he need to know more Bible than me to lead our relationship? Well, no to all these questions. A wife can initiate the family to pray. A wife can know more of what's in the Bible than the husband. I don't think she should. I think they should both know equally pursuing
it's
God.
Hard,
so I'm not giving anybody a license to study the Bible less or more. But guys, this being the head of the house, you have to realize that there are times that decisions need to be made. And when decisions need to be made, the head makes the best decision for the wife and children. So the head being the husband, that's his job as the head. So there were times in our marriage that I felt we were supposed to live in a certain neighborhood. My wife didn't want to. We didn't agree. But I felt for the sake of my wife and my children, this neighborhood would be better for our family. And I said, you know what?
I think they're talking about the spiritual thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is an interesting thing.
But what I'm trying to do is that's a head. That's what the Bible's talking about. As far as spiritual goes, Lisa, we're joint heirs in the grace of life. And I don't like it when it's like, I'll be honest with you, I have a problem, and I'm going to get a lot of people upset with me, of teaching that the husband's the priest of the home. I'm like, well, so is the wife, because we've been made kings and priests unto our God. Why does the husband have an in with God that the wife and the children don't? That's ridiculous. That's the priest. They got to go into the inner sanctuary and experience a level of the presence of the Lord and communion with God that the people of Israel weren't. Why in the world would we say a husband's a priest? And if you have that being said, then you're going to ask questions like Shana is asking us. So Shana, here's the deal.
Shanae,
I want my wife. I hope my wife's more spiritual than me. Because you know what? That benefits me. But I'm going to try with all my heart to be more spiritual than my wife, because I know that's going to benefit her. So maybe that's the attitude we should all take.
Okay, it's saying the spiritual head of a household. So here's the thing. How is it even supposed to happen if you've got a wife who's saved and a husband that's not? He can't be the spiritual head of the household. So isn't Jesus the spiritual head of every household? I would think that that's kind of the setup. And then you talking about what's earlier about loving and serving and those kind of things, I think that actually makes everything the right perspective. And I think too many wives put too much responsibility on their husbands. Oh, my husband never does devotions with me. Oh, my husband never prays with me, so I don't really pray and I don't really read my Bible. Take responsibility for your own spiritual life. If your husband isn't reading the Bible with you, that's so what? That doesn't mean you can't read the Bible. And I know that I did that early on in our marriage.
By Lisa's spiritual behavior, she was studying diligently the New Test, highlighting, and I'm in there watching ESPN, and I'm like,
wow. I was the spiritual head.
I'm watching a little
bit
too much ESPN right now. I need to be digging in the Word of God like Lisa's doing. So there you go.
Yeah, and does he have to know more about the Bible? This is like a competition, it sounds like. I think that we should both seek to know the spirit of the Bible, not just the letter of the Bible. And so, I don't know, maybe we just got ourselves in trouble here, John, but... Hey, so how do you navigate when a spouse doesn't agree on...
Oh, you're asking the question now. Who's this from?
This is from Dorel, I think. These are like hard...
No, Doriel.
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 Okay, Doriel. How do you navigate when your spouse and you don't agree on what church to attend? I'd love to attend a spirit-filled church. My husband wants to stay where we are. What do you do with that?
Okay, this is the one where... there has to be a head. Lisa, I'm going to answer this with a testimony. I'll never forget when we were at Hillsong London, that lady came up and testified. She was a pretty successful businesswoman, and she said that she wanted to go to a more spirit-filled church. She felt in Hillsong. She felt Hillsong was really doing a great job of reaching lost people, and she wanted to go to a deeper spiritual church, and the leaders of that church convinced her, but her husband felt they should stay loyal to Hillsong. They had been there for like 9 years. And the husband just said, I really believe we're supposed to be at Hillsong. So the leaders of the small church convinced her. They said, hey, who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to your husband or God? And so she was going to tell, remember our friends, Pastor Gary and Kathy, and the husband, she's leaving, she's going to attend, she'll still be a faithful wife. And the little church actually had the book undercover. And she picked up the book in their bookstore, and she said, John, I read it all night long, weeping and weeping and weeping, realizing that the one I was really rebelling against was God. And she said, I went to my husband the next morning and said, I've rebelled against you and God. I'm so sorry. Then she said she went to Pastor Gary. And she said, as a result of staying in the church, she said she met her business partner, and she has flourished. So yes, Would that smaller church, would they have grown more spiritually? Maybe. But what God was more important to God is that there was unity in the house and that the headship of the husband was respected, because he really was, with all of his heart, trying to make the best decision for their family.
And, you know, it's not like it used to be. I mean, if I go to one church and feel like I'm not really getting fed spiritually, there's other options. I can listen to podcasts. I can watch other services online.
That's
I can read books. There's tons of research. I can be part of a small group of women who are pressing into the same kind of thing, or couples that are pressing into the same kind of thing. And so I feel like there's a lot of different options. So I think I'd kind of ask, like, why? You know, she said in spirit-filled church and her husband wants to stay where they're at, one of the things, I don't know, you and I have made decisions based off of the churches we go to, based off of our children in different seasons of life.
Right.
So I think I would always want to go to the church that is the best for my children. So
And that's the husband's job, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job as the servant of the family. I am going to make sure the decisions I do make as leader serves the best interests of, first and foremost, my wife and children before myself.
That's great. Hey, do you want to read the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Kelly wrote, and now we're going to shift more to family type questions. What does honoring your parents mean as adult? I am 35, Kelly says, when they have been controlling and abusive to me and my family.
Wow. Well, first of all, there's a difference between honor and endorsing. And there's a difference between honor
obedience.
And being an enabler or an unhealthy situation with that. So One, you talk to that, and then I also want to make sure I can weigh in on this.
Well, one of our four parents really got involved in our marriage, and for about 5 years, it was creating a lot of problems. And I sat down with that one parent, and I said, you know, a man leaves his father and mother because why? God is setting up a brand new authority. I honor you as our parent. We will love, honor, respect, serve you, provide for, but I don't want you speaking into our marriage, neither to me nor to Lisa. And she was not real happy, but it ended up bringing a lot of peace into our marriage.
You know, Kelly went a little further with this, John. She said, I've gone to no contact, at least for the time, while I go to counseling and process all that that has gone on. So, hey, well done, Kelly, that she's getting the tools that she needs. And she said, I've forgiven them and I love them, but feel it is not healthy to engage with them at this time.
That's not dishonoring.
You know, no. And I think, you know, how she goes about that, having healthy boundaries, having healthy lines of, hey, you know, I love you, but right now I'm trying to heal some certain areas of my life. I think that's important for her to do that. So we honor because we're honorable, not because we're endorsing bad behavior. We don't put ourselves in a place where our kids are going to be at risk or the work we're trying to do, God's trying to heal, is going to be brought into question. So, but I would really challenge her to maybe she could love them from a distance or like write letters, honor them with different things.
I was thinking the same thing, babe.
Yeah. I love that. That's, I'm hearing this more and more, John. There's a lot of people in situations like this and having that conversation with your parents that you do love them and you do forgive them. But right now, this is just about you getting healthy and strong. And of course, if there are parents who love you, they should be supportive of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember looking at Addison the day before he got married or the day of his marriage. And I said, now, you do know that I've given you my blessing and Lisa, mom has given you her blessing. And this is the last time we're gonna ask for, we're going to give unasked for advice. And I said, we're going to stay out. And I remember this kind of look came over his face. He said, well, if you see me doing something wrong, won't you speak up? And I said, probably not, because I don't want to interfere with your family. But anytime you can come to mom or myself and we will give you counsel. And he has done that over the years, but we have stayed out of his family's business. All right, Jessica says, can you talk about the balance between serving at the church and family? I'm a single mother, and I'm involved in my church. My family tells me I'm not spending enough time with my daughter. I struggle with thoughts of not being committed to the Lord if I dial back serving. But I also do find myself longing to spend more time with my daughter, so I'm confused. Boy, this is good.
Hey, I mean, first of all, Jessica, you're serving God by taking time with your daughter.
God made you a mother first.
Yes, first and foremost. And so, hey, you know, I really don't want you to think that you're not committed to the Lord if you're not serving in the church.
Well, can I interject something on that? She's serving the Lord by serving her daughter.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. So I want you to know you're a single mom. Your daughter needs you. And there's only a time test with your daughter that you have. You can always serve in the church later, but you cannot always have a 10-year-old daughter or an 11-year-old daughter or a 12-year-old daughter or a 5-year-old daughter. That's just a certain span of time. And so you want to do the right thing in the right season of that time. So don't feel guilty. Spend time with your daughter. And I think that the church will have no problems if you came to them and said, hey, I really feel like I need to spend some more time with my daughter. I'm going to have to not do this as much and I'll only be able to do that. They'll totally understand that. But I would ask you to get in the presence of God and ask him what's making you feel like you have to do works to be faithful to God. So yeah, I don't want you feeling that way, Jessica. I'm sure you're an amazing mother. All right. Well, these are some interesting questions, John, that we've been able to go through.
Have been.
I want to thank you for joining us. You can write a review, subscribe, or share this podcast through iTunes, and we love hearing from you. We want to hear about any topics or questions you would like us to cover in future podcasts. Please send us those ideas on our website at messengerinternational.org/podcast. Until next time, we look forward to joining you.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.